Welcome to Liberated Living Ministries with John and Beverly Sheesby. You are listening to the series, The Anointing. And now with the word, here's Brother John.
Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Never the same, never the same. Luke chapter 4. I'm going to speak briefly about the anointing again tonight. Last night we saw how Jesus came to Nazareth, to his home city, following a pattern that had already been established according to Luke chapter 4, where he started his ministry by going into the synagogues, reading about the anointing, declaring that he was the anointed one, and then performing signs and wonders to authenticate him as the anointed one and the message of the anointing. He comes to Nazareth, to his hometown, and the people know him as Joseph's boy. And so Jesus said, I know what you're thinking. He says, doubtless you will say to me, physician, heal yourself. In other words, you can heal everyone else. Now let's see you do it here in your own hometown. That which we have heard you do in Capernaum, do here in your own hometown. And Jesus knew that they wanted him to display power to impress them, because they were offended because he was the hometown boy. And as Jesus taught as a principle, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, in his own country. You're honored everywhere else except many times in your own home, because everybody knows you as the snotty-nosed kid who grew up there. They know all your imperfections and so on. And so although the anointing of God comes on you, they limit that anointing because they know who you are in the flesh. And that's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, henceforth we are to regard no one after the flesh. Even though we once knew Christ after the flesh, from now on, we know him such no more. We aren't to regard one another after the flesh. And let me say that it's imperative, even after this revival. Because you see, you know what you're going to do? I'll just show you human nature. You're now going to look at these people who were baptized tonight, and you're going to want to see something physical changed in them. And we might see something physical changed. But you see, we don't see them after the flesh. We see them after the Spirit. We see what God has done in the spiritual realm. And you see, because the kingdom of heaven, I've taught you, is like seed. The seed has been planted. They might not come out of the water immediately, totally changed, but the seed has been planted. And so that which they have set their faith in is going to be manifest and demonstrated in their life shortly. But don't you go and look at them after the flesh. See, and we're always getting bogged down because we're looking at people after the flesh. We know him. He's from amongst us. We know his past. And so Jesus uses two illustrations from the Old Testament to demonstrate the principle and illustrate the principle that he's applying. Read it with me in Luke chapter 4 and verse 25. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land, but to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. What is Jesus trying to say? That there was a prophet, the prophet Elijah, who represents the greatest pinnacle of prophetic anointing in the Old Testament. And Elijah lived right in Israel, but they didn't. Yeah. But you know what? There were thousands of people who could have been blessed by Elijah, but because they said, oh, he's just Elijah. He's a homeboy. They were never blessed by Elijah Because familiarity bred contempt. And so he wasn't sent to any Jewish widows but to the widow of Zarephath. Why? Because God knew that none of the Jewish widows would have believed Elijah when he said, first go and make those cakes for me as you have said, and then for yourself and your son. Because thus says the Lord, you will not lack flour and you will not lack oil until the day that the rains come. What Jesus was saying is there was no Jewish widow who would have believed the word of the Elijah of Elijah the prophet, like that widow of Zarephath. And I want you to hear that, people, and please understand that in the message tonight, I'm not mad at you, and I'm not trying to judge you, but I'm trying to stir you up to believe your covenant inheritance instead of allowing the enemy to steal it from you because of familiarity. You see, they could have had the provision if they'd have only received the anointing that God was sending through the prophet Elijah. But because they wouldn't receive the anointing, they never got the miraculous provision that a widow of Zarephath did. Do you get this? See, that's why the people in Nazareth were getting real mad at Jesus and tried to kill him at the end, because he was exposing unbelief. He was saying to them, I am the Son of God with the anointing in your midst, and you're not going to be able to receive it because you're sitting there saying, this is Joseph's boy. Do you get it? See, God's touching people in this building over these last 8 or 9 days, and he's putting an anointing on them. And listen, if you don't see one another after the Spirit, you're going to say, oh, but I know who that person is, and I know all of his weaknesses, and I know all of his past. Yeah, but you see, the anointing has brought the change. And if you keep looking at people after the flesh and looking at one another and saying, yeah, but I know where you've come from, you are going to severely limit what God is going to do. Now, let me say this to you, and please understand this. This pastor is mightily anointed of the Lord. And I'm not saying that because I just want to say nice things and impress him and everything else. I'm beyond that. But he's mightily anointed of the Lord. But you see, what has happened is that a lot of people had looked at him and been offended by his humanity and missed the anointing. And I'm telling you, coming out of this meeting, he's going to walk in a far greater and greater and greater anointing. And people who refuse to know him after the Spirit are going to miss it, because they're going to remember things from the past that they've judged about him, and they're going to miss the new thing that God is doing. You see, Jesus came to the point of anointing, and he moved from being Joseph's boy to being the Messiah by that anointing, and they missed the transition of the pouring out of the anointing because they remembered him as he was when he grew up amongst them. I'm telling you, the anointing changes everything, and you better start believing it if you want to receive the blessing of that anointing. God has been anointing different ones in this building. I'm telling you, there's some of you that receive gifts of healing. Now the others are going to say, oh, but I know that person. You know, they haven't got much power about them. But the anointing has brought a change. See, and it's time for us to forget the past and lay hold of the anointing that God is pouring out on one another, and look and say, boy, I can see the anointing on you, and I want to receive from you. Now, that person might have been, listen to me, you might have been the teacher and they might have been the student before now, but the anointing has come and has changed everything. And all of a sudden, you can see somebody who was once, you know, sort of younger in the faith than you, being anointed by God. And if you get over your pride and if you get over your prejudice and judging everything by the past, you can receive what God is pouring out through them. Listen, people, it's time to forget the past. It's time to forget the homeboy and recognize the anointing makes Jesus into the answer to their need, but they cannot receive it because they're remembering that he was the snotty-nosed kid who played with our kids. This is Joseph's boy. There's another illustration that he gives. Verse 27. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. See, Elisha came with a double anointing, right? He had a double portion of Elijah's anointing. Do you know how many lepers got healed in Israel? None. Why? Well, he's just Elisha. He's just one of those crazy prophets who hung around Elijah and part of that school of the prophets, those weird guys who live over there on their own, you know, those old guys in the school of the prophet, and they're always babbling off and prophesying all day to one another and so on. I mean, they're just weird. And as a result of it, people just stayed in their sickness, stayed in their leprosy because they wouldn't lay hold of faith. You see, listen, we criticize Naaman for having turned in a huff and left Elisha, but when his servant said to him, "Man, if that guy have told you to do something great, wouldn't you have done it?" He says, "Why then if he just tells you to go and dip in the river?" What Jesus was saying is this: Naaman believed the word of Elisha and obeyed the instruction, but there was nobody in Israel who would have obeyed him, and so only Naaman got healed. Now, this is a serious rebuke at the church of Jesus Christ, as it was to the Jews in Nazareth in that day, because we've done exactly the same thing. Let me tell you, I've been preaching with all of my heart the new covenant, and that the new covenant is the fulfillment of God's promises to Abraham. And so Jesus, as the seed of Abraham, has not only sealed and secured to us all the covenant blessings of Abraham, but in addition has secured to us all of the riches of our Heavenly Father. We are doubly blessed. We are more than doubly blessed. We have all of these resources available to us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, listen to this, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, I just want to simply ask you this. Why aren't you living in all the fullness of the spiritual blessings that Jesus purchased to make yours? See, why aren't you living in the promises to Abraham? Because you see what has happened to us. The same spirit of unbelief that was on Israel in Elijah and Elisha's time, and the same spirit of unbelief that was in Nazareth in Jesus' time, has pervaded and invaded the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in United States of America, and particularly in the Western world, but throughout the world. But in the Western world, we've got the greatest problem because of our mind orientation. And we're always submitting the power of God to analysis, and we're trying to, let's say, A plus B equals C, and we're trying to understand it instead of simply believing what the Word says and obeying what the Word says. You see, when I was talking about giving this evening, a lot of you were sitting there saying, "Well, that sounds good, but man, it can't be true." See, if you really believe what I was preaching about giving, you'd start looking for seed to sow. And wow, boy, I want to get into sowing. If that word is true, wow, if I sow bountifully, I'm going to reap also bountifully. Let me find seed to sow. Let me find good soil to sow it in. But we're sitting there and saying, yeah, maybe one day I'll try it out. Come on, Bev and I, we've been there. We've heard all the teaching, but it took a long time for us to put our faith into action in the promises of the Word of God. And listen, the two categories that Jesus covered in these illustrations are prosperity and health. Do you notice that? Meeting of our material needs and meeting of our physical needs. The widow of Zarephath, sustained supernaturally through the ministry of the prophet Elijah, and Naaman the leper. You see, here's the truth about it. If Israel had have simply believed what covenant they had, the Mosaic covenant, there wouldn't have been one needy widow and there wouldn't have been one leper in Israel. Because even the Mosaic covenant provided for every widow's needs to be met through the offerings and the tithes. I mean, it was to be provided. You know, you didn't have to take it all down to Jerusalem. You minister to the needy, the widows and the orphans and in your hometown. They were all taken care of if you believed the word of God. And in a similar way, God had made provision in Leviticus for the cleansing of all the lepers. And so Jesus is just pointing out their disregard for the covenant promises of God that were to them. Now, let me tell you something that is burning on my heart. I think it's a tragedy that Christians are filling the stadiums to go to Benny Hinn rallies. It's an indictment against us as Christians that we won't believe the covenant promises and get our healing through the covenant, and we have to go to the supernatural sign gift which God wants to use to bless the lost people. The signs are to impress the lost people that God is real, that salvation is real. Those stadiums should be packed full of lost people taken there by caring Christians who are there wanting their friends to get healed, because the Christians are enjoying health because they're believing the covenant promises of God that are secure to us in Jesus. See, listen, God doesn't want to bring all of the supernatural gifts just to bless the church. Please hear me. He's going to bless the church and he's going to pour out incredible anointing, but it's not so that we can get fat cats. It's so that we can bless all the families of the earth. And the tragedy is this, that we've been in such a low level of faith in what is promised to us in the Word of God, that we're looking for the man with the supernatural sign gifts to go and get our physical needs met, when God wants the gifts of the healing to be flowing in the local body as natural as everything else in the local community. See, and what God is doing in these days, please hear this, please. And if I leave here and all you can talk about is what happened through me, I have failed miserably. But if I leave here and there has been stirred up in you faith in what God has anointed you to do, and the anointing has been released on you, and when I clear out the way, you all start walking in the anointing and ministering in the anointing, and the power of God flows in this place, and miracles of healing take place, and supernatural provision takes place, then I've done what God has sent me to do. But if all you do is say, when can we reschedule Brother John to come back so that we can get more of the same? I have failed, people. And I know the Lord wants me to do an extended meeting in this place, but the Lord has told me in most churches you go into, you need to get out of the way after 2 weeks, because the local church needs to pick up and go with the anointing. See, so I'm going out of here on Friday night. If we continue next week, I'm not here on Sunday. Because on Sunday, this man of God is going to rise up in the anointing, and the same anointing is going to flow in this place as though I was here. Amen. And if it doesn't, I failed. But it's going to. I'm telling you, it's going to. I'm just clearing out on Sunday. I'll be back in for Monday night. But Sunday, the Lord just told me, don't stay Sundays. The local pastor needs to rise up in the anointing. People need to see that when you're out of the way, it doesn't make a lick of difference. The same anointing is going to flow. The same manifestations are going to be there. The same joy in the Holy Ghost is going to be there. The same power is going to be there. It's not because I'm here, people. I'm just here to open your eyes to what you have in Jesus Christ and to make you familiar with the anointing, so that you say, oh, yeah, that's what it was all the time. Oh, yeah, that's what he wanted us to be enjoying all the time. Do you hear my heart? Amen. I don't want you to get attached to me. I want you to get attached to the Word of God and His covenant promises and the Holy Ghost and the anointing that was on Jesus when He came into Nazareth. You see, they wanted to see the signs and the wonders, but they had the Anointed One in their midst. They could have been enjoying miracles. But do you know what? Jesus could never do any mighty works in Nazareth, because they always said, this is Joseph's boy. And God's taking us beyond the level Here, Lord, hit her some more. Now, for that little message, they try to kill Jesus. You see, we want the experts to come in and do all the stuff. And the Spirit of God is saying, I want to raise up faith in you to believe the word and to believe the anointing, and that the anointing is for you. Elijah wasn't just there, you know, as, well, look at this weird prophet. He was there to bless the people, but because they wouldn't lay hold of that anointing. Listen to me, people. If I can get something across to you tonight, this will be of God. Listen to this. In order to enjoy the benefits of the anointing, you have to make a demand upon the anointing. Can I say that again? In order to enjoy the benefits of the anointing, you have to make a demand upon the anointing. You have to come in faith. See, if you just sit back in your seat and say, okay, well, I'll receive the anointing. If God wants to anoint me, He'll zap me here. Let me tell you that you probably won't receive very much. It's going to take faith. Because they sat back in Nazareth and said, okay, Jesus, what you did in Capernaum, give us a, you know, a light show. Put on the display here. We want to see it. But they weren't coming in faith to appropriate the anointing, and so they got nothing. The Son of God was there with His anointing, but there were no miracles in Nazareth because they didn't want to make a demand. They didn't want to humble themselves, admit that they had need, and come to Him and say, Jesus, this is my need. Will you meet my need? Everywhere else He went, He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He set the captives free. But in Nazareth, they said, we'll just sit here and watch the display. I'm warning you, don't come into these meetings and just sit there and say, well, I'll just watch and maybe God will zap me back here. You have to make a demand upon the anointing. You have to exercise faith and saying, man, I'm going to go and receive. Or right where you are, say, boy, I'm going to enter in right here. I'm going to receive right here. I'm not going to sit around and be a spectator. I want to make a demand on the anointing, and I want to receive the anointing. You see, nobody made a demand on Elijah's anointing, and so nobody had their needs met. Nobody made a demand on Elisha's anointing for healing except Naaman, who came from Syria, from a foreign country, and parked at his door because he needed a miracle. But there were a lot of lepers in Israel, but none of them ever made a demand on the anointing. Do you understand that? And so I want to challenge you to press in. You see, the woman with the issue of blood had heard about Jesus, had heard about the power that was in Jesus. And as she meditated upon it, she recognized that if she made a demand on that anointing, she could be healed. And she said, if I just can touch the hem of His garment. It wasn't even a big thing. It wasn't, well, if I can just go and stop him in the street and get him to talk to me and get him to, you know, wave his hand or spit at me or do something, you know, supernatural. It was just like, boy, I he doesn't even need to know. He doesn't even need to talk. I'm just going to reach out and touch the hem of his garment. And I know when I do that, I'm going to be made well. She made a demand of the anointing, and immediately she touched Jesus. Guess what happened? The anointing flowed out of him. He knew it. Virtue had gone out of him. Elijah and Elisha were there. The power was available, and nobody tapped into it. And Jesus was in Nazareth, anointed with the Holy Ghost, and everybody said, give us a display. And nobody tapped into the anointing. Now, I want to challenge you this evening to make a demand upon the anointing and to receive it. You can yield right where you are. You don't need me to lay hands on you, because Jesus, the anointed one, is in this place, and He's wanting to touch you by His anointing. And some people are already making a demand on the anointing. There you go. Father, in Jesus' name, I release your anointing. To show you how simply you can make a demand on the anointing. It's just receiving by faith. Just receiving by faith.
This is the conclusion of this message. You have been listening to the ministry of John and Beverly Sheesby. For more information on this and other available teachings, please visit our website at www.liberatedliving.com. God bless you and thank you for listening.